Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Manly defeat the Panthers 32-18. And that is right. Manly are our mosh bounce back team of the week. The bounce back of the week is Manly Seagulls. They had a bad loss against the Dragons, and they bounced back to beat the Premiers on Saturday afternoon. Mosh is the place to go for smarter hair loss treatment. Most men think they have only option to try and combat hair loss is to spend thousands at clinics, and many don't want to go all the way to doctors about it. Well, times have changed. Mosh is 100% online, so there's no travelling to doctor clinics or pharmacies. Mosh deals with every bloke on a case-by-case basis. Their Aussie doctors will give you real advice as to where you are in your hair regrowth journey, prescribe you what works from over 90 treatment variations that are delivered straight to your door. Join over 30,000 other guys in the Mosh hair growth family and get $50 off your first treatment when you use treatment plan with code BLOKEINABAR at checkout. Completely customized, totally online, and cheap hair regrowth solutions for $45 a month. Smarter hair loss treatment all starts with a quiz at getmosh.com.au. Link will be in the show notes on YouTube and also in the show notes on Spotify and Apple.
Code is one word, bloke in a bar.
Code is one word, bloke in a bar, for $50 off your first treatment. Make sure to sign up, guys. We had a lot of people sign up before, so get back in there and make sure to sign up. Manly. In my preview, I think with Smithy, I was saying like this game is like one of the biggest opportunities for Manly to see where they're at. You know, how are they a fast starter and then the wheels are falling off, or are they a side that started fast, little bit of a hiccup, but they're the real deal? They were phenomenal on the weekend. DCE was outstanding. Tommy Turbo looks like almost like what injury history? You're not looking at him. He's not limping around, or he's not. I'd even argue like in the year where he had his like one of the greatest years of all time, he was still sometimes like hold and clutch at things or whatever. I feel like this is as fresh as he's ever looked. Manly were absolutely outstanding, and they are absolutely the real deal. I think that, you know, I probably had them. I think the preseason predictions was 7 to 10 maybe. Now, I think that if they don't make the finals, it's a really disappointing season for them, and their goal should be top four.
I'm finding this team so hard to read. Mm. So impressive on the weekend. The 2 weeks before that, I was pretty let down by them, to be honest with you. I agree that with their squad, their goal should be top four. I'm finding it really hard to put my finger on what the Manly Seagulls are about. I don't know if I'm the only one, but...
Look, I am, but I was so happy to see his performance on Saturday because I have so much belief in them that they can compete for a title. Again, we've said it all before. Like, they really need key players to stay on the field, Turbo and DCE. But provided they can do that, on the assumption that they do, we were at risk particularly after the Dragons lost last week, going, are they just pretenders? Are they going to be flat-track bullies, which they've been accused of in recent years? To go and do this against the Panthers side, look, sure they're missing Nathan Cleary, but we've seen this team without Nathan Cleary. They thumped the Roosters the week before. Like, we're far better than them. They did this against a full-strength Panthers pack, minus Scott Sorensen. He was the only one missing from there, I believe. It was just a reminder, no, they are contenders, and they did it convincingly.
Yeah, and as I said, it's probably the first time ever where I've seen a forward go out and say, all right, Fisher-Harris, Leota, let's go. Mm. By himself, really. Like, don't get me wrong, the other Manly forwards had a dig, but Brown was genuinely saying, like, I'm going to shoot out of the line, I'm going to try to jam you. And it's the first time Leota and Fisher-Harris didn't really fire a shot back. Mm. I haven't seen that before. Now, I've got a theory for that, but I'll talk about that when we get to Penrith. The thing that I like with Manly that excites me is if they can sort their defence out, that attack, when it's humming, it's genuinely some of the best attack in the competition. Like, they become almost unstoppable with the amount of weapons they have. You know, whether it's DCE, whether it's Brooks, whether it's Tommy Turbo, then you've also got like Olakau'atu sitting there on the other edge, just absolutely, you know, we talk about Kikau's game. Olakau'atu's been doing that every single game this year. So, like, we get, oh, wow, what a game from Kikau. Olakau'atu has been absolutely destroying edges essentially every single game of the year. It's just about that defence, and it's about fatigue. Like, for example, can that forward pack last the whole year? They've still got Lodge to come back. They've still got who else? They've got another front row, I think, out. Or is he back now? So Sipley's back.
Sipley was and he played really well. Start, so yeah, he's back. So
he played really well. Anyway, so they've still got Lodge to come back in this front row rotation. Again, it all just relies on their defence. If they can sort their defence out, I can't see why they can't finish in the top 4 to 6.
I am really excited to see them this weekend take on the Warriors. Big performance against the Penrith Panthers this week. I think that any team in this competition can, as a forward pack, can really get themselves up for a game. Now they've got to go back-to-back against arguably two of the best forward packs in this competition. I think we're going to learn a lot about the Manly Seagulls this week.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we've seen what they can do when they get themselves up for a game.
Mm. Yep.
But how can they back that up? Like, are they, as it's a great point, like, it's usually the game after that you want to see, because I think every NRL team can get up for one game. And look, that's a bit unfair on Manly. They've got up for more than one game. Mm. But we have, remember, perfect example. Remember last year against the Storm? And we're sitting here going, oh my God. Yeah. They bashed the shit out of the Storm. And then it just seemed to fall off a cliff. Or not fall off a cliff.
It's like those Eels vibes of yours 2 years ago now, Kempi, where it was just 1 week unbelievable, the next week terrible, and they'd even have a couple of bad weeks in a row, and you just sat there and just went, I've still got a good feeling. If they make finals football, ideally top four, they can beat anyone on their day.
Mm.
I think it's going to be similar with Manly this year. I think they'll stay fit. They make the top eight. They can push for top four. There's going to be some bad losses like the Dragons last week. We haven't seen the last of that, I don't think. But we know they can beat the best now and compete, you know, with the best sides in the NRL. Granted, I know Cleary was out, but still, it hasn't stopped Penrith in the past.
And look, the Seagulls had their own issues, like Garrick concussion in like the first 3 minutes. You know, we spoke about a few teams a few weeks ago. They lost their centre, and it completely ruined their rotation.
Well, how about shout out to Benny Trbojevic? He gets shifted out to the centres off the back of this. What did Penrith do? Not last week, but the 2 weeks prior, the exact same thing happened to the Eels and to the Broncos. They shifted back rolls out to centre. They relentlessly peppered those edges, and they just had a field day.
Mm.
Benny Trbojevic went out there and did what the other back rolls, what other teams couldn't do, and he plugged the hole. He paying for himself there.
Yep.
He was really good. Like, there was a few missed tackles, but again, he's still a back rower playing at centre. There was a bit of a lack of communication with Cherry Evans late in the game for a try, but he had a beautiful tip on for a try for Borlo. He was fantastic.
Mm. I mean, we'll talk about it quickly, but it's not really much to talk about. Obviously, that try was a knock-on with Kola. I don't know how you get that wrong.
I reckon we need some more people in the bunker, and then it won't happen.
You know what? We need a bunker for the bunker.
Yep, agree. We'll sit here and watch it on the screen.
The second bunker.
Doesn't it just open a can of worms? I'm sure you feel the same, Kempi. I am so not looking forward to the comment sections over the next few weeks, because it just sets a ridiculous precedent now. And, you know, I've got people who are drawing me lines on the screen and everything. So it wasn't a knock-on. Bro, it's been a knock-on for 110 fucking years. It'll be a knock-on in 110 years.
But also, like, drawing lines, how can you draw a line on that? The angles that they use, for one? For two, yes, it looks like it may go, because he steps forward. Like, it's a knock-on every day of the week. Like, come on.
You know, I don't hold it against the referee or the touch judge in that moment. Would I have called a knock-on? Yes, but they let it play out. How on earth it got upstairs and they didn't, you know, It's old saying, if it quacks and it's got feathers, it's a duck.
It's a knock on.
It's a knock on.
Well, and what I don't get is it's like, calling it a knock on was the easy decision. Like, if they call that a knock on, no one's going to sit there and go, are you kidding me? Whereas they don't call a knock on and everyone's like, what?
But now when they do call it a knock on the next few weeks, everyone's going to go, are you kidding me? And I get why you're saying that. Especially if you're a Panthers fan, I'd be filthy.
And what was quite interesting is didn't see anyone from Manly blowing up about it when they were blowing up about the obstruction call a few weeks ago.
The silence was deafening out there. It was deafening. Park, wasn't it?
And this is what we mean. When you get a terrible call against you, they usually come back for you. Throughout the year, every team gets a terrible call and then usually a terrible call goes their way. They usually come back.
It's great to see as well. Great to see the NRL 360 panel tune into Bloke in the Bar each week, and they took your advice last week, Hammy. They got the line out for
back
doing
page.
Evans. Back page.
What's doing? Where's
back
my
page?
Where's your royalties? Now, it was slightly misleading, so they basically said that if he just kept running at that speed, he would have made it. But obviously a fullback is not going to go, you know what, I'm just pinning my ears back for the trial line here. That's not how a fullback tracks. Like, a fullback gets that first 10 metres quick, then he holds up to see, he sits in the pocket of where the ball is just in case there's an offload inside. But anyway, they do owe you a bit of money.
They do.
They do.
Reach out. Some free KO, be good.
Okay. We've already spoken about DC's incredible performance. Who else is that for you boys?
We already spoke about him, but Nathan Brown. I'm not sure if they win that game if Brownie's not there.
He completely shifted momentum, legitimately, single-handedly lifted momentum for him.
Yeah, you go back to their preseason, and he did the preseason with the guys that were new to the club. And this is Nathan Brown. He's a State of Origin player. He just came from a grand final 18 months ago. I assume he's got 150-odd first-grade games under his belt. Like, he could have quite easily shown up to that preseason thing, just sent it in, got through it. No one would have cared. Instead he wins it by a country mile. And if you get an opportunity to go and watch, I think it's called The Manly Way.
It's a good episode.
It's good gear.
Yeah, good bit of gear. Who else stood out for you boys in this side?
I just wonder, you both had a good chat about Chez before. I was quiet in the back corner, but just want to mention there was that momentum swinging intercept that he took.
Yeah,
there was the fact that Ruben Garrick, the goal kicker, went down injured, and Chez comes in and hits 6 from 6 and a few of them from the sideline as well.
The joke.
2 try assists, a try in a milestone game from him in front of the crowd, really wet underfoot. Obviously didn't rain during the game, fortunately. Just listening to the crowd cheer, what was it, Chez. It was a special afternoon.
He's just broken their record, played 310 games. Not many have cracked the big 400 mark. Do we reckon he's a sniff of doing that?
He genuinely might be a sniff. So what, he'd have to go 4 more years?
Yeah, if he gets to the end
he's
of this year.
He's not getting any worse.
330 odd by the end of this year, so he'd need 70 more. So he'd need to play probably 2.5 to 3 more seasons.
So 3 conservative.
He'd have to be about 38, 39, probably a bit too much.
It shows you that Cam Smith record is
crazy.
Insanity.
I think what you do need to remember with DCE, though, from memory, like, he was young when he won that premiership in his first year, but he was like 21, 22. Like, if he would have started when he was 18, like some of these guys, he could have given it a real I mean, that would put him almost at 400 now. We'd be sitting here going, did he get to 500?
Young Trent Hodkinson kept him out.
Yes, true, yeah.
Okay, now on to the Panthers, the Penny Panthers. So here's my theory on what happened there. I think that they've – so what you do at training – each week is there's a lot of data that goes into how you're feeling, you know, are you fatigued, you're not fatigued, how hard the session was, and they can actually really judge where a squad is at energy-wise. And, you know, some people might think, like, when you get into a season for the NRL, it's like the same training basically all year round, but it's actually not. So what the sports scientists do, or the head of fitness or whatever, they basically create plans where you're like peaking and troughing at certain points. And so they might, you know, in periods where they want to try to get a bit of running into your legs to prepare you to peak at a certain time, they might train you a little bit harder at times. So you might be a bit flatter for that week, but they're aiming towards peaking at a certain time. And so what I reckon's happened at the Penrith Panthers, they've gone, you know, we've just won 3 premierships in the white row. Our first 5 weeks, we need to set the tone and set the standard. So they have come into the season absolutely red hot, just fucking red hot, hit the ground running. And I reckon what's happened on the weekend is they've tried to time it. So just as they hit the bye, they are pretty much conked out. Like, and so they get the bye, they get that 2 weeks off, and they are resting their players, and you know, they get that recovery. And I just think that it's come, they hit the wall one game too early. You looked at it with the time with Isaiah Yeo, he came off. Jerome Luai came off at the end of the game. They looked a shell of themselves. Like, even Fisher Harris and Leota looked nowhere near as aggressive as they usually look. And so I reckon they've just timed it. Like, they've hit the ground. Like, what have we said this whole year? This is the best they've probably ever looked at the start of the season. They look unbelievable. And I think that they may have just timed it, missed it by like 4 or 5 days. And that's what we saw on the weekend, a fatigued side that was hoping to get to the bye.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think there's every chance that's happened. And I think the moment, well, not the moment, but the thing that stood out for me coming from that is you saw Nathan Brown come onto the field and just go bang, punch him in the face. And normally Penrith go, okay, we'll go with you.
Yeah.
Sweet. Didn't really get a shot back.
No, I didn't see a reaction, really.
No.
It didn't seem like they were sitting there going, oh, okay, you want to have a crack? Like they usually do. Like, you know, you look at the grand final with Carrigan and Leota. Like, that was genuine. All right, you think you're the best forward pack? Let's go.
And on the back of that, you know, when you are maybe a little bit flat like that, the last thing you need is one of your bench front rowers to get knocked out. What about poor old Liam Henry getting penalised for being unconscious? Poor bastard.
God.
Yeah.
Man, they're clamping down on that this year, so...
Sleeping in the rock.
Kemby, I do, firstly, I love the idea. I love the thought. It's got me really intrigued. I really want to know the answer. Like, I want to get Mythbusters onto it and just have this confirmed or busted.
Yeah.
I'd love to know someone from Penrith if you are on the money, because it's fascinating.
Yeah, I'd be really interested, because they look to me like a team that just hit a fatigue wall. Like, even... You know, Taruva, 131 metres. I know that's like a lot, but that's actually nothing for him. Tungo, 118. Taylan May, 89. To'o, still 206.
Ridiculous.
And Edwards, 270. You know, their forwards, Leota, 95. Fisher Harris, 75. Like, you know, not even cracking the 100. Garner, actually, you know, 132. Liam Martin, 73. Some of his defence, though, Liam Martin... You know, he missed a few tackles there that I was a bit surprised at. Even Isaiah Yeo, this would be normally a good game for people, but 121 metres. Yeah, like, I just think they look fatigued. They look super fatigued.
Yeah, and whether you're right or not, can be like, oh, I came out of this probably with a more simplified thought on it that, you know, and from what I've heard, there's a lot of guys carrying injuries there, as there are in... most NRL sides. Well,
Fisher Harris played 34 minutes. No, he's carrying an injury, but 34 minutes, Fisher Harris?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys playing big minutes there that are carrying injuries, though. And, you know, even if, you know, maybe your tapering thoughts might be on the money, if they're not, though, I walked away from that thinking this is a team that just had their eye on a bye next week.
Yeah.
That need it desperately.
Desperately, like, need it.
Honestly, there might not be a team in the history of the competition that needed a bye more than this side when you consider... You know, you say the last three, realistically, it's the last four
years
what they've put their bodies through.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, like nothing to worry about, but it just shows you these guys are human. These guys are human, and there is a way to beat them, and they're not going to be perfect every single week. And if you've got a really strong kicking game, you can move them around a bit.
Must be excited to play Penrith after their worst performance in 4 years, coming off a bye with Nath Cleary returning.
Yeah, we tail them up at Bathurst, full strength, big whoop, in the driving rain. Bring it on.
That'll be Galvin's return too. That'll be a cracker, actually.
Yeah, good luck, Penrith. The regional New South Wales specialists out in Bathurst, so bring it on.
Almost like a second home ground for you.
About a fifth home ground for us.
Yeah.
yeah, the old fortress up there at Bathurst.
Okay, in regards to performances, aside from there was definitely uncharacteristic errors from the outside backs from Penrith. I think Edwards come up with, didn't he drop the ball his first carry back? Yeah, I think he did. Obviously, you never see that from Edwards. Yeah, Edwards really first run, dropped the ball on a kick return. And then there were multiple uncharacteristics from their backs as another error. And so, yeah, like it shows you that their machine, if it's just a little bit off, it can be quite a ways off. But it's so well oiled that it's almost like a Ferrari. Like one little tiny thing goes wrong and this Ferrari almost turns into like unworkable. And you can see if their outside backs aren't absolutely churning through the meters, they just don't seem to hit the same.
And they still ran for more metres than Manly.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing you need to consider is that, you know, 24 minutes into this game, Penrith were up 6-0. Like Manly did well in this game.
Did extremely well. Extremely well. And like you, the key the key factor I looked at is it's just the kicking meters. They are like head and shoulders above with the kicking meters. In regards to meters made, you know, per set distance, the Penrith still had an average of 43 compared to the Manly that had 35 meters per set, which just shows you like Chez's kicking game was on an absolute other level. But I just felt like their outside backs just didn't click into gear as much as they usually do. They were still outstanding. But out of all of that, Dylan Edwards was absolutely phenomenal.
He's a joke. Talk about going another leg when Cleary's out. And we often sit there and go like, Dylan Edwards plays his role so well in this team and, you know, might not necessarily have the attacking heights of some of the best fullbacks in the game. And, you know, as a fullback, he often sweeps on that right side but doesn't go down the left a lot. With Cleary out, he's just taken upon himself to get more involved in attack. Mm. The last 2 weeks, he's been brilliant.
Well, I've seen quite a few people say, oh, you take Edwards into another team, he wouldn't be getting these stats. I disagree. I think you put Edwards in any team. Okay, would he have as many tries or tries? Yeah, maybe not. But when it comes to carting the ball, that has nothing to do with Cleary.
But I think the last 2 weeks without Cleary,
yeah, he's stepped
seeing
up.
Him step up has shown that. He's like, like he'd have a different role in another team.
Yeah, absolutely. Like there is more to Edwards' game than just a meter eater.
Oh, I think as far as the meters and everything, I think he'd have more in a lesser side.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Imagine if he didn't have Brian Toe, one of the greatest meters guys we've ever seen next to him.
You know what's crazy? Is I genuinely made the mistake of going, geez, Toe had a quiet game on the weekend.
Shame on you.
And then I looked at the stats. I was like, what the fuck? Did you feel he had a quiet game though before looking at the stats?
Yeah.
Like as in wasn't, you know, he's ripped Norton
Bet. Game, yeah.
Like, man, far out. Like the fact that he can just, I don't get it. I don't understand.
84 post-contact. Like, goodness me. Out.
Unbelievable stuff.
Like his body shouldn't be able to do this for too much longer.
It shouldn't be able to do it, but even in quiet games, he's still running 200 plus. Outside of that, I will say, you know, Fisher and Leota probably didn't strike back to Brown, but late in the game, a fucking dog, Mitch Kenny, said, fuck you, you have dominated us, shoots out of the line and tries to fucking jam Brown. And I was just like, that's what Kenny's about. Like, you're losing, you're probably not going to win the match, you know, not even close. And there's one guy that's been terrorizing you all game and you go, you know what, I'm just going to try and hit you. And he does it. Like, that's what Mitch Kenny does. I absolutely love what he brings to the side. And I just, no matter how many times I say it, I still think he doesn't get enough appreciation for his defense. And I still think that we focus so much on attack and we're guilty of it. But his defense in that system, it's as important as the try assist that you see from players in attack. Who else stood out for you boys? Or didn't or whatever?
I thought, I think just with the Jerome Luai, like, firstly I'll say that going into this week, he'd won something like 8 or 9 in a row without Nathan Cleary in the team. Some of those teams were without other Origin stars, which is, it's a credit to him and shows, like, you know, we mentioned last week, he can lead a team around. He doesn't need Nathan Cleary there, but I've just found him, I'd like to see him start playing a little bit more direct. He's been successful with it for a long time, but sort of crabbing crossfield, going a little bit sideways, and then instead of just straightening up and playing out the back, and he's got these strike weapons out there in, like, Taylor May, getting them some good early ball and trying to get defenders to bite in, he'll just step off his left, and just keep going. I think he just needs to, at times, sit back, straighten up that attack on the left edge.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's just so used to, like, that's what their game plan is. Mm-hmm. Keep dropping blokes under, yeah. keep dropping, and fatigue the middle. And then what Luai does, he goes, a fatigued middle, that's my bread and butter. I keep stepping back in. But if Cleary's not there, it's like that, as we said, that machine is so well-oiled. If it's just a little bit off, you're not going to see Luai be able to take advantage of things set up by Cleary.
And Cleary does the same. Cleary just brings blokes under all the time. But then when the time is right, he just straightens up, plays dead set direct and goes out the back. And on that right edge, Tungo's got the space. Yeah. He's got the one-on-one or the half an inch on his centre and he takes it every time.
Yeah, no, I agree that there are moments. Yeah, like it's just so hard to turn around so quickly because you've been playing a specific style, like a very, very structured system. But I agree, there could be times where he just plays almost like just a pure ball player, just to the line, out the back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Does it sometimes, but yes, he does have a tendency just to crab across field. So yeah, it's going to be not too bad though. As I said, I think that they're all sitting there going, oh my God, thank God we had a bye. Imagine how battered their bodies would be with with the high energy style of footy they play. Jeez Louise. Okay, on to...
I was almost surprised they brought Fish in this week.
I was very surprised.
Even if he was good,
I was very surprised that they brought him in. But it might be a matter of like standards. Like, if you can play, you play.
And then, there's every chance that Ivan maybe tried to rest him and Fish went, no, fuck that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was super surprised. I'm like, this guy has been through the ringer for 4 years. Just give him an extra week. That means he gets 3 or 4 weeks off. He'd be frothing at the bit to get back out there.
Especially when like they're only 6 or 7 weeks away from the origin period, where you know a lot of leadership falls on his shoulders during that period.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.